Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Whoa, okay, this one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh, the T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
We may have a parent argument here.
What happened?
There are going to be parents who hear what this mother was arrested for, Tommy, and wonder why. In fact, plenty of our parents may have given us this advice.
So this was like old school parenting.
I would argue it's very old school parenting. But even if you're not cool with what police say this mother was a part of, I was unaware that doing this would be against the law.
Oh, all right.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy!
Yeah, buddy.
This story went down just east of us. Back on May 25th, police were called for reports of multiple kids fighting throughout the day.
Like a brawl?
It just says fighting.
All right.
They probably weren't charged $2 to be there.
Yeah.
And then the scuzz showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Police arrived. They calmed things down, and they did an investigation. And that's where police say they discovered.
What is that?
A 38-year-old mother of one of the kids fighting had driven her child to the park intentionally with the knowledge they would be fighting other kids.
Wait, she dropped them off for the fight?
She knowingly gave them a ride to the fight.
Like it was her, like it was the kids' bowling league?
Yes, exactly. Now, it doesn't say that she was present during the fight.
Okay. She drove them there to take care of business.
Yes, but Kimmy, we've also seen stories where, like, you know, parents stay, they tape it, they egg them on, they participate. That apparently, at least according to the story, did not happen.
Okay.
But, because police say she dropped their kid off for this scheduled bout, she's been arrested.
Damn.
Charged with endangering the welfare of a child. She has a court date on June 18th. So there's a lot to get to here in this story.
Okay.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. First off, were either of you aware it was illegal to give your child a ride to a fight?
Well, I never really thought about it.
I never thought a parent would admit to doing that.
Right.
Like I would just think a parent would be like, I didn't know what they were going to do when they got, like, play dumb, well, even if you did know.
These are allegations. Maybe the kid was asked about it, and they were like, yeah, my mom knows I'm here.
Possibly.
They gave me a ride to the fight.
Okay.
All right, so you never really thought about
it. No, I mean, I never thought a parent would do that.
Right.
So then I guess the question becomes,
yeah,
should it be against the law to give your kid a ride to a fist fight.
I probably should.
It does look like you're encouraging it.
Yeah. You got a bicycle, sneak out of the house. But, like, I'm not giving you a lift to get into trouble.
Well, but this
yeah,
mother.
Yeah, like, I'll turn my back.
Okay.
If let's say you think your kid should do that. Like, you know, maybe you just turn a blind eye.
Okay, but that doesn't make you better than the woman who gave her a ride.
No,
you're aware of what's happening.
I mean, what if your kid gets seriously hurt?
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. Well, but that's her kid. She knows what's up.
Yeah.
It's like a chain pit bull, son. You know, let this thing off the chain, we're both going to have problems. Okay, so different parents come down different ways on how they feel about their kids fighting.
Stand up for yourself.
Well, Tommy, there are some parents that are against fighting no matter what.
Yeah.
There are parents, like you just said, who... I don't want my kid to start it, but if they got to finish it, you stand up for yourself. You stand up for what you believe in.
Yeah.
And whatever happens, happens.
Okay.
And I always talk like this. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. One, should this woman be in any kind of trouble with the law? And two, are you a bad parent for teaching your kid how to fight?
Teaching them how to fight?
Well, I mean, look, if you...
Well, teaching them how to fight or teaching them how to defend themselves.
Okay, but I know, is there a difference?
Well, one's raising a bully. One's just protecting themselves. Yeah. Which one are you raising?
Okay, so let's talk about that.
Right?
One's a little more aggressive.
Well, let's have that discussion. Because I understand the idea of, you know, if you're going to get pushed to a certain point, there's only so much you can take. But every parent of a kid that's ever been in a fight believes their kid was the victim.
Oh, yeah, they didn't start it.
Yes, they believe their kid was pushed to a point where they had to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And I get that your kid is going to argue certain things and their friends are going to, no, you know, Stevie's telling the truth. It's always a Stevie.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no way, just based on logic, that every kid that's ever been in a fight was the victim of something. Like, your kid could be lying. Your kid could be the dick. Your kid could have been the bully and not realize they were being the bully. Like, I don't know. Like, it seems to me, like, teaching your kid this stuff also goes down a road of they could end up being a dick about
it. Right. Because they're kids.
Okay.
And they'll just start pushing some other kid around.
So never say anything.
I would never encourage it.
Okay. So don't teach your kid how to fight.
No.
Oh, what happened, Mr. Old School?
All right. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah, absolutely.
So my Uncle Don was an FBI agent for 30-something years in New York.
Okay.
And he was about as conservative, and it's either black or white. And if you're, you know, he was all anti-commie. He was all that stuff, right? So one time my cousin got into a fight, and he was telling my dad about the fight, his uncle.
Okay.
Well, you know what my father says? He goes, next time you bring a shovel down there, tell me you're going to cut his balls off.
Oh.
What?
So but my dad tells my cousin this.
Yeah.
My uncle hears about it and lights up my dad. Don't teach my kid any of that crap, because he was like anti-violence.
Okay.
Even though he was an FBI agent, you know, with protests and all that other stuff, he didn't want his kid getting into fights.
Okay.
Then this was a guy like stand up for America, go defend the flag, all that stuff.
Sure.
But he was anti-brawls and fights, where my old man is like, hey, just go hit him over the head with a shovel.
Which, by the way, your father's never been in a fight in his life.
I mean, I'm sure he was as a kid, but who the hell knows? You know what I mean? But yeah, he wasn't, he was a bully and a coward. But, like, even my conservative-ass uncle was, like, anti that type of parenting.
Okay. I mean, are you a puss for having that take, not wanting your kid to fight at all?
And my uncle was no puss.
I mean, well, I don't know. I heard he never took his gun out from your dad.
He's, like, having $1 million in the bank. But you would have thought that guy would, go down there and defend the family.
No, I'm with you.
I mean, I don't know how effective a parent would be at this. But would it be smarter to, like, teach your kid how to, like, be a smartass?
Well, no, because then
you cut somebody down with their words.
That's not
if
a bad idea.
Somebody comes at you, like, this is what you could use to, like, make them look like an idiot.
Yeah, but that kid's going to end up in morning radio.
And that also may accelerate the fight.
Yeah.
I guess, but...
I mean, ask Tommy how many times he's been assaulted for all the stupid things. Yeah, let me tell you something.
But he somehow
mostly
didn't
girlfriends.
Work his wiggles have you seen this? Have you heard of it?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking about this 38-year-old mother just east of us who was arrested after police say she gave her kid a ride to a fight. Police were called during the fight. It doesn't seem that the mother was there, but somehow they got the information during the investigation that she gave the kid a ride. She was arrested and charged with endangering the welfare of a child. We were trying to figure out, you know, how she knew or how the cops knew this happened. Nick writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF. I don't know if you heard, Pat, but they can't talk about Fight Club. First rule of Fight Club, do not talk about Fight Club.
That's so true.
Did your dad ever? I mean, your dad never taught you how to fight, right?
No.
Like, what do you? What do you gonna?
No.
Okay.
Bro, I was always a runt kid. What was I gonna pop you in the knees? I was always the smallest kid in my class.
Well, but there
and
are,
the lightest.
There are parents who believe that if you are tiny, that's why I need to show you how to do this.
Yeah, but you're just gonna hurt. It's not gonna help you.
Okay.
If I'm gonna fight a kid, if I'm in an 8-year old,
yes,
and I'm gonna pick on a kid that's twice my size, I'm gonna just get creamed.
Okay, you're not wrong, Kimmy. Did your mom or dad ever teach you how to fight? Did your dad ever throw you?
I mean, my dad always like.
You teach girls
it bothered him, like in sports, if I like wasn't pushing people around, you know. But it's not like he was like, "Hey, throw an elbow every now and then." Like he didn't like really encourage that type of.
You shouldn't teach a girl to fight.
Why not? If you're gonna teach a boy, why would you teach a boy to fight, not a girl?
You shouldn't be getting into fights.
I would argue it's probably more important to teach your daughter how to, like, you know,
punch another girl.
Oh, not punch another girl. Defend herself. I mean, like,
well, that's self.
Be ready for something.
Defend herself is self defense.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like from like,
why would that be a bad thing?
Like, punch that girl in the mouth.
Well, no. But, like, I think...
Come here, Sally. Pow! That's my boyfriend.
I think it's always I think, Sally. Like, teaching your daughter a little toughness can't hurt.
All right.
And by the way, again, we're going down this road of that self-defense. No, it's all the same thing. All self-defense right. is running away as fast as you can. That's the most efficient
yes,
way of self-defense.
Get out of trouble.
But there are also parents who don't. I didn't raise no sissy. I didn't raise no runner. You stand there and you handle business.
All right.
I mean...
Stand up for yourself.
I don't know. Like, in my humble opinion, the running away as fast as you can is the best way to do it.
I'm a known leaver.
Yeah, but you're fine with that, too.
But I've also been assaulted as when I was leaving, which really pisses me off.
You know, there's also another situation.
What's that?
That has to be considered. This old school idea of teaching your kids how to fight. You know, I'm okay if they end it, not start it, versus how the world actually is. Because, Kimmy, there was a time.
There was a time.
That was beautiful. Were two kids getting in a fight in school led to, like, an in-school suspension for one day, and that was the end of it?
Yeah.
Those kids are back pretty quick.
Now, kids who get physical with each other, they face a laundry list of potential punishments.
Well, there's usually, like, video evidence, too.
Oh, yeah, it can end up on the news.
How bad it got, you know? Because I remember as a kid, like, every now and then, like, you'd see a fight, you're like, whoa, that was shocking.
Yeah, but,
it was, you know, it was quick. And everybody kind of forgot about it because it happened so fast. But if I can go back and rewatch that over and over again, you're probably going to see and notice some things that were pretty bad.
And it ain't just school. Like, for example, in this story, the cops were called for these kids fighting. This was not a case of, like, a cop rolling down the street, seeing a fight, getting out and be like, hey, break it up and go along your way. Like, we like to remember, like, in the streets of Brooklyn in the 30s, like, how we all think it is. Like, someone was arrested over kids fighting. And we see kids get arrested over fist fights that when we were in, as we were younger, they would have just separated us and sent us home. So, like, the situation you're putting your kid in is a lot more severe now than it was when we were younger.
Yeah, it's going to be more adult now with cops and arrests and handcuffs.
Is that the right way to be?
This doesn't seem to stop it, right? I don't know. Is it down? Is it up? Does it help?
Is it down? Is it up? Does it help? Or does it go? I just find it funny, like, the same parents that are, like, teach your kid to fight also want to share, like, there was a fight at the mall over and over again on Facebook.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere anymore.
And by the way, just because you think your kid's right doesn't mean he's not going to get arrested.
Oh, yeah.
Defending himself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, when you roll up upon a situation, you just see two people fighting.
Right.
Jacob writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF, should always be taught to defend. Pull a Muhammad Ali and P.O. that guy so he can't hit you. All you have to do is be the greatest heavyweight fighter of all time.
Done and done.
How hard is that?
Yeah.
Right? He goes on. Brother got in trouble just because he threw a punch back while defending himself. School system doesn't care if you're involved throwing a punch, you're in trouble. I mean, I guess that's the point here.
It's like zero tolerance.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I get that there are extenuating circumstances for everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't want to teach my daughters how to, like, beat up.
That's something you want to put in your kid.
We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF or the Break Room Facebook page. David writes us, parents should be involved in their kids' fights. It's safer to have an adult there in case it gets out of hand and someone has to stop it. You shouldn't encourage your kid to fight, but it's good for them to get in a fight or two when they're kids to know what it feels like. Thoughts?
I mean, to know what it's like to be punched?
I guess that's what David's getting at here. One, you should be there to pull a Mills Lane and be like the referee the entire time. Two, it's a good experience to get punched in the face.
Okay, I've been punched. I don't know what it taught me.
Okay.
Because you didn't change anything about yourself.
And I've been assaulted by many different types of people.
Yeah.
Okay. So not that I agree with David.
Yeah.
But the point that he makes here is an interesting one, because you didn't learn anything from the punch. Mm-hmm. But
well,
you,
I didn't take anything away from it except that it sucked.
Yeah, you're. But that's just it.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Because there are lots of guys, and I know them. We have all met them.
Yeah.
Who have never been punched in the face, and they think that they're tough. And they got no problem being a dick.
All right.
And like when you
learn.
It takes
it down a notch.
Oh, it only takes it down a notch. It makes you re-examine your entire existence.
Though, because there are some guys that have been punched. They've thrown punches. And they still continue to do it.
Okay. It's always.
It doesn't stop everybody.
I don't think
I
it's
guess.
A life lesson.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Like they'll just make an excuse. Like, he sucker punched me. I didn't see it coming. Next time, though. Next time.
Yeah.
I've said this before at the show. I really believe this. Like, if you've been in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
At any point in your life, there was a time.
There was a punch in time.
Thank you. Because anyone that's been in a fight has gotten their ass kicked. Where you were driving away from that ass kick and going, you know what? I probably shouldn't have done a couple of things back there. I do think it changes the way you react on a regular basis.
I guess it's how you get punched.
What do you mean?
Well, I've been assaulted at work. It wasn't like a high school fight.
It wasn't an argument.
It was an adult trying to steal something, and I was standing in between it.
Oh, I was an adult. I couldn't do anything about it.
I couldn't.
My name's Tommy, and I love to defend myself because I'm a bitch-ass bitch. First rule of Fight Club for Tommy is get punched in the face and fall down because I'm a scared-ass get punched in the head. Little-ass bitch.
Yes. There's a big difference.
Did your brother ever get in a fight as a kid?
I don't think so. I don't ever remember him like getting into like a physical altercation with anybody.
Okay. Do kids still see fights as cool? Because that was cool when we were kids.
I don't think it was cool.
Okay, maybe it's a girl
thing. I mean,
thing.
Especially because here's the thing. Like, I remember, I was almost like embarrassed for the kids that got into fights.
Really?
Yeah, because you didn't look cool. You didn't look like a professional when you were fighting. You looked like you were just blindly, like, you don't look as athletic as you think.
That is a
when
great point.
Into a fight.
That is a great point.
Especially when it comes to girl fights. Like, I remember, like, being embarrassed for the girls, like, because they would just have each other's hair.
Girl fights could get nasty, too.
Yeah, because they crab claw.
Yeah.
They bite, and, like, they scratch.
And guys would, like, fall over and stuff. And I just remember, like, it looked embarrassing to me more than tough.
Okay, see, that's an interesting difference between boys and girls. In
because, like, in the moment when you're in the fight, you think you look tough. And you think it looks a certain way to everybody watching.
It's pretty cringy.
It doesn't.
Okay, see,
it's cringy. That's a great way to put it.
It's that Lee Zeldin moment on stage where everybody's just... It's a big pile of khaki pants.
And you're not.
Nobody looked up in that situation.
And you think you're saying something cool? You're not.
No, I get what you're saying from the optics of it. However, I guess the difference between like teenage boys and teenage girls, like when there was a fight about to happen, it was the most exciting thing in the world.
Well, it was your I'm crowd. Not arguing it was. Like, you're going to go watch it.
Yeah, of course. Like, Thin Lizzy's in your head. Tonight is going to be a jailbreak.
Like, you don't want to miss out, but I don't think you looked cool doing it.
I mean, do kids still gather around and watch a fight happening?
Oh, yeah. I would gather. If there was a fight at work, I'd go running down the hall to look
at
it.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to.
That makes you both a bad
person.
We all
would.
Oh, you had to go look.
I don't think I would want to watch a fight.
We've had some incidents.
Yeah, and you stayed in here like a little bitch.
But I did check it out.
Close the soundproof door until it's done. Don't tell me. Guys, is it over? Yeah, I would have went down there and handled business. Thank God the door was closed.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
When you're in a crisis, every idea is a good idea.
Okay.
At least at first, because we are still in the middle of a housing crisis in the greater Rochester area. People need affordable places to live. They do not exist. The city of Rochester is looking to fix that.
Okay.
And just a few years ago, folks would have laughed at the idea of living in one of these. They would have turned their nose up.
My God.
But those same people today may be fighting for the opportunity to have this roof over their head.
How bad are we going?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So, Tommy,
yep.
City of Rochester has two problems at the same time.
What's the matter?
Problem one, lack of affordable places to live.
Okay.
Right? You got people that are looking for a roof and they can't find it.
Yeah, it's tough.
The second problem, vacant lots in neighborhoods that are not getting filled. It's very hard to build a house just on a lot in between two other houses.
It's abandoned.
Well,
right?
I think some of those lots were houses that burned down or knocked down. Like there was a house there, but they're no longer.
They took down a bunch of those zombie houses.
Yes.
Right?
So it's funny. It's so funny based on age where both of your minds go. Right. You go immediately, top city, they abandoned the houses. And Kimmy's right. There are a bunch of reasons why a lot could be vacant.
Yeah, but usually it's not good.
Okay. Yeah, of course. When a house is there and it's not there
it's
anymore,
not good.
It's not like the house fairy picked it up and put it somewhere nicer. So the city, dealing with lack of affordable housing and vacant lots, has an idea to kill two birds with one stone. The city's new plan is to fill in some of the vacant lots with modular homes.
A modular home.
Are you familiar with a modular home?
So that's a house that's built off-site, and then it's kind of like put together, right?
Oh, no. It's built off-site together. It is then fully moved.
Oh, so the whole house gets moved at once.
You got it.
Dropped off.
You've probably seen some of these on like the 90 if you've been driving down, and all of a sudden there's
Wide
just like...
Load.
Yeah, there's a ranch house driving
but
down
the street.
But it's
been assembled someplace else.
Yes, you got it.
So parts of it, yeah.
Yes, the house is put together. It is put on a truck, and then it is driven to the spot where the house
lives. They're just going
to
drop on it.
Yeah.
Drop it on the lot.
It lives there forever.
Right.
It's not a mobile home where you can like move those in theory.
Right.
These just stay, apparently.
Right.
And the city has put out feelers asking these companies that make modular homes to make bids on this project. They hope to have this up and running by July 9th.
Oh, right around the corner.
You got it. Do we like this idea?
How good are these houses?
That's a good question. 252
I mean, they could be crap.
252 WCMF, are there people listening that live in modular homes? And is there much of a difference between a modular home and like a trailer?
Or like the mini homes that kind of come the same way.
Well, people usually assemble those themselves, don't they?
You can buy them.
The tiny houses?
Yep.
I thought the tiny...
You can actually buy them like I think on Home Depot's website, Amazon. Like,
but I thought those were exclusively built on site.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they're pretty much all assembled.
They almost look like
a
shed.
And like I said, maybe it's pieces that are assembled, but it's for the most part put together before it arrives.
Okay, I want to be clear. No, because I see what your brain is doing, because I know you. A tiny home is different than a modular home.
I understand.
I don't think you do.
But they tiny because you cheat.
Okay, see, you're doing it right
you're
now.
You're tight.
You're doing it right now. Yes.
You want to move to Tight Town?
Tight Town?
Yeah.
A place your mom has never been? Bro, it's you need affordable places to live.
I know, but they also, you don't want to move into crap.
What do you mean you don't want to move?
You don't want to move into a place that's falling apart where you got to fix it.
Okay, but this is a brand new house. This is a brand new house.
Brand new crap breaks.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying crap.
You just said crap.
No, I literally just said crap. If they are crap.
But you don't know anything about them.
I do not.
Okay.
But it sounds like it's cheaper to build these things and to put them on a lot than to dig a foundation and have the guys come out and build a house.
Maybe sometimes like those new builds have problems too.
Yes, so
I guess, like,
absolutely.
You were building a new house that you had to stop production on.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I had a Sicilian father-in-law that was insane.
There are a lot of things that could go wrong either way.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And by the way, I don't know that there aren't a foundation that they're just putting the house on when they get it there.
So this is mostly for the city that I'm.
This would be exclusively the city.
All right.
This is a City of Rochester project. Take the vacant lots. Build the modular homes, move the modular homes to the vacant lots, boom, you got affordable
homes. But you're also putting them in areas that are a little bit...
I knew you were going to say this. Not necessarily. A little bit what? I'm sorry.
Rough.
Not necessarily.
Near crime.
There.
Narcotics. Prostitution.
There are vacant lots in not great neighborhoods.
Transportation.
There are vacant lots in neighborhoods that are fine.
I'm sure.
No, shut up.
But just turn a corner, bro.
Shut up. You haven't even...
You're in Danger City.
You are in Danger City.
You're moving into Fear City.
You haven't even thought about this, and you're already yelling about what a bad idea.
Well, most of these places that have these places are because the neighborhoods are kind
of
run down.
Most of these places that have these places...
is run down.
Again, yes, there are neighborhoods that have vacant lots that are bad. There are neighborhoods that are not bad, as to Kimmy's point, because a house burned down or somebody died and nobody was there to take the house over, so it just went to hell. These things happen.
They do.
There are suburbs that are nice that have houses that are falling apart with vacant lots.
They do.
Oh, my God. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. All right. You said a lot of stuff back there.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have to one by one go through all the things you said. Again, the City of Rochester has an idea to kill two birds with one stone. They need affordable homes for people that want to move in the city.
Yeah.
And they have vacant lots that they can't fill. So the plan is modular homes built by builders at a manufacturing area that are then brought to these vacant lots, set up there, and that's where people live.
Manufactured housing.
And the city is asking people who make these modular homes to start bidding on the project. They want to have it up and running by July 9th, 252-WCMF. You said these houses were crap.
I said they could be slapped together.
You said they were crap. Jay grew up in a modular home. We're going to find out.
Modular Jay?
He's not saying that.
With your modular mama?
Jay, what's up, buddy?
With your tramp stamp?
Morning, guys. And Tommy, I still hate you.
What do you got, Jay?
So I grew up in one of these from like when I was 8 to when I was, 20 at that point.
Okay.
Lasted the whole time. There was never any issues with the build quality. We did have a foundation, like they came in, they poured a concrete slab, and then they put the house on top of that.
Okay.
And no, it was just a great experience with it because, you know, it's small. Like, they are small homes, but you can fit a lot on a lot. Like, you can fit a lot of these.
You can fit a lot on a lot, buddy.
Put a lot on that lot.
But you got a lot, you got a lot, you got a lot.
Like, I drive past some lots in the city where you could easily fit, you know, 2 or 3 of these homes.
Okay, so
you wouldn't fit them out.
So you think this is a good idea, Jay?
It's a great idea. Okay. My wife and I are actually thinking about buying one in a couple of years.
There you go. He's saving up for his modular home. Why are you laughing at that?
You can pay cash for them. You don't have to, you know,
How much are they?
You'd be stuck with something that you're not happy with. You actually pay for them like Tommy pays for his house.
Jay, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Kimmy, can you Google what the average modular home will cost?
I think there's a pretty wide range.
I understand. Yeah. I'm just trying to get an idea. I'm sorry. All right. So Jay thinks it's a good idea.
He grew up
in a modular home.
He grew up in a flimsy home.
Troy, however, disagrees.
Yeah.
He writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us on Instagram. This is the dumbest, all caps, idea from Rochester ever. The city's already slummy, and putting a bunch of modular homes will make a scene from Slumdog Millionaire. It will make the city even worse. For the first time in 32 years, I agree with Tommy. Okay. So again.
Mm-hmm.
But empty lot. not being used.
I'm with you. And
probably overgrown, I'm guessing.
Got that.
Nobody's taking care of it.
You got that. That creates a whole bunch of other potential issues.
Oh,
And people need a place to live that they can afford.
Yes.
What's the other option? I mean, if you got a better idea, I'm open to it.
So who owns it? So do you buy these from the city then?
I would assume that's how it is.
Because the city must take back the property?
Must be.
Because there's no owner?
And are they charging for the property? Are they just charging for the home?
Oh, yeah, that's a great price. You have to pay for it.
That's a great price. It's a great price that we don't know. But, I mean, if you do have to pay for the lot, you're not paying. I mean, you're buying from the city, not from someone who would be marking it up trying to flip it as a investor.
True.
Okay, so a basic modular home, which is about 1,500 square feet.
That's nice.
What could range from $120,000 to $240,000.
Holy crap!
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's a wide range.
Well,
ain't cheap.
Well, Marlene is kind of with Kimmy here. She's on CMF. Hey, Marlene, how are you?
Hi. So I actually live in Steuben County, where there are a lot of modular homes, and they're not that cheap. Once you have to pay for like the foundation, hooking it up to like water, sewer, electric, all of that is like an additional $40,000.
Okay.
So even if you find one that fits your family, we'll say $180,000, then you have to add the extra $40,000 to $45,000 just to get it hooked up to utilities, and that does not include the property.
Okay, so let's walk through this, Marlene, because it's more expensive than I think a lot of people thought.
I thought it'd be like $40,000 or $50,000.
Yeah. But no, trailers aren't even $40,000 or $50,000 anymore.
When's the last time you think I bought a trailer?
Wow, that's what I'm telling you right now. Marlene. Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think a lot of people think that modulars are the same as mobile homes, and they're very different.
They're an actual house.
Like cross.
No wheel.
Yeah.
An actual house, no wheel. Tommy's starting to get it.
No wheels, no sluts.
All right. All right, but Marlene, let's walk through this. So let's say it costs you $250,000. Soup to nuts.
$250,000 to move back into the city.
It's still cheaper.
Yes, it would cost more to build a house.
Well, this ain't happening because nobody's ponying up.
Yes, they will. Like... Mark, man, wave. Kimmy, what? Will people spend $250,000 a house?
People are in my neighborhood.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you live in a nice neighborhood.
But I'm talking like the entire area.
I don't know if you
honestly, like, I would think anything like under $200,000 at this point, you're getting a deal on.
She's right.
Yeah, but you could be in a hood.
Yeah,
it's scary.
You have a nice house.
Thank you, Marlene.
Not for long.
Thank you for the call, Marlene. Like, again, you don't. The only parts of the city you drive through is to get to work.
Yes.
Shut up. Like, you think the 19th Ward is scary?
It used to be.
There are really nice parts,
but there are some sketchy areas of the war.
There's sketchy areas of every town.
I understand.
No, you don't.
It was a blended community.
Oh, a blended community.
Yes.
Wow. Sound like the mayor of Boston in the 60s. 252 to BCMF. 252-9263. Man, we are split down the middle here because there are folks writing us online saying this is a great idea. We've heard from two people.
The price.
Okay. Dan writes us on Instagram, however, Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us. It's a Band-Aid issue. Won't age well at all, which may be the case. Let's say that is the case. I don't know. That's it. What other way do you – it's a Band-Aid. What's the better way? What's the better way?
Building an actual house.
Okay. Who can afford it?
I don't know who can afford this.
Building a house would still be more expensive. Like,
yeah.
I know this sounds not as cheap as you thought, but it's still the cheaper option, I guess.
But I thought this were people that were like didn't have a lot of money.
Yes. Again, a house for $250,000 is lower than the average price of a home in Monroe County.
But you're telling me a cat that lives in a city that makes $50,000 a year.
Okay.
Where's he getting the money for this? Where's he getting the bank loan for
you? You could qualify for $250,000 mortgage.
You'd have to get like some kind of like government subsidized loan.
Well, so the city also brings up there are first home buyer programs that'll help you walk through all this stuff.
There go my tax dollars.
You don't.
Where's my tax break for my house?
You don't pay taxes because you don't own a house and you don't live in the city. Like, man who does.
I don't get a break.
Man who does not own a home.
Where's a regular guy going to get a break?
Who has not bought a house since 1999?
Where do you got a knob around here to get a mortgage?
I'll show you. Why don't you meet me in the bedroom? I got this new kiosk business that helps first-time home buyers that deliver their wives' houses.
Yeah,
it's called
yeah,
Uncle Pat's Open Your Mouth for a dynamite rate on a mortgage. Tommy Mulay only exclusive sauce. 252 WCMF. All right, we got folks sitting on hold here.
Yeah.
We got a pair of Erics.
Okay.
All right. We're going to start with Eric 2. Again, we're talking about the city of Rochester, this idea they have to fill vacant lots with modular homes to create affordable housing.
Yeah.
And again, I get that this is not a perfect idea.
Of course not.
I guess what I'm asking is, if you have a better idea, what is that
idea? Yeah,
you were saying a lot of stuff about modular homes. People are giving you information. You're not listening.
Yeah.
It's still running your mouth. Let's start with the second Eric. Hey, Eric 2. How are you, buddy?
Not bad. How are you guys?
Good. Good. What you got?
Modular homes. First thing is they come in behind a truck on a trailer like a mobile home, but then you have to use a crane to take it off the frame and put it onto a basement.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can have modular home can go two floors.
Oh, double floor modular home.
Right.
Floor.
Yeah.
Yes. They saw, and price is different, but you got to add in the crane and everything else.
We didn't think about the crane.
Tommy's in now that he knows there's a crane.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So Eric, with your experience with modular homes, do you think this is a good or a bad idea?
I think it'd be cheaper to build a house than it is for modulars, because I went and priced out modulars. $120 is the lowest, and that's like a ranch style with a couple bedrooms.
Okay.
Most expensive. You're looking at almost $500,000.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so I get you're probably not going to build the most expensive modular home. I guess, Eric, like if I'm going to build
something new for $120.
Well, building would also be new. I guess his argument is why not build?
Isn't building more? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's my question. Yeah. What's the cheapest, Eric, I can build a 2-3 bedroom home in the city of Rochester right now? And keep in mind, you're not building in a tract where you would have all the space you need to construct. You would have the street there, you can't block.
You're just building one house
in the middle of everyone else living. Yeah.
Probably anywhere's probably a couple $100,000.
Okay. All right. Eric 2, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Let's see if other Eric.
I'm going to trust somebody who says probably anywhere's between.
Yeah, if you had an S on the end
I'm
of
like,
that.
I'm like, that guy did the math.
Let's talk to first Eric. Hey, Eric, how are you, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good, brother. What do you got?
So I'd be curious to know if there's a price cap or a square footage cap that the city's looking at putting on these houses for these guys to get bids on, just because, kind of like the other Eric, I kind of agree. They my parents had a modular house built, and they went a little fancier. There's like 1,900 square foot.
High-end modular.
Ooh, they're talking about we're like millionaire modular.
Dude. It's stupid. I think you could have built a stick house cheaper than they built that modular. So I'd be curious to know a price differential between a stick built, 1,000 square foot house versus a modular. I'd be very interested to see, because I don't know if it's necessarily cheaper.
Okay, but again, how do you build it in just a yard where people are trying to live their lives around it?
I would argue it's probably a faster process. I don't know.
Are these homes already made?
I think it is a little bit quicker because they can assemble it like on assembly line at a plant, kind of in a way where walls are pre-built. They can slam them together. And if you got a similar blueprint for most of them, then you can crank them out at the end of the day.
Okay. Eric, so then in that case, do you think this is a good or a bad idea?
I think it's an okay idea. Like I said, I see the numbers run between a stick build and that.
Let me see the numbers.
He's got to see a stick build number. Yeah. That's what he's got to see, stick build numbers. So we'll get back to Eric. Eric, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. So there is one thing.
What's that?
A problem that may keep this from even getting off the ground.
Already.
Well, some of you may be wondering why all of a sudden they are trying this idea, because this has been a problem for years, right? It turns out that there aren't many modular homes in urban areas across America because it's very hard to get them where they have to go.
Because it's tight spaces?
Yes, low bridges, power lines, narrow streets in urban areas.
Oh, you can't drive them up and just... Drop them off.
Like, think of all like that. Just the overpasses you have to drive under.
You got it.
Power lines. Yeah. All right.
I mean, yesterday we had a story of a box truck getting stuck under a bridge in Parenton. I mean,
yeah. So how would you get it into the city?
You would have to measure out, absolutely
figure out which roads.
Yeah,
but you may not even be able to get down the road.
And that's just it. That may disqualify some neighborhoods from even having.
Yeah, older neighborhoods.
Yes, right. Based on. Oh, I mean, I don't know if there's a way to get it through unless you bring a helicopter and just drop it straight down.
Oh yeah, there you go.
You know, I don't know, I already have this vision.
What's that?
If this plan works out, like, I could see Berkeley Breen standing next to a non-moving house that can't clear a bridge.
Oh, yeah, stuck.
You know what I mean? This house has been stuck here. There's a man living in this house.
And he has to stay there?
You know, I want everyone to think about before we move on here. What is the average home going to look like 30 years from now?
Like the new build?
Well, like, you've got a lot of home builders putting up standard traditional homes, right? But, Kimmy, like you said, those homes can... take a long time to build, and they cost a lot of money.
Sure.
You have a ton of townhomes and apartments going up all over the place, right? And those have become...
a lot of townhomes.
Yeah, and they become premium, and people want them. We found out last year, trailer production has boomed over the last couple of years?
Your mobile home parks.
Yeah. Kimmy brought up tiny homes. People are buying those. You have folks making homes now out of container ships. That's becoming more common.
Yeah.
The American dream, Tommy, has been a two-story house in the suburbs with a yard for the
white
kids.
Picket.
Yeah, things. All that stuff. Yeah, yeah. But those are now harder to come by.
And they're expensive to own and maintain.
You got it. Kids that are 20 to 30 right now, are they going to want the least expensive option?
Sounds like it.
Are they going to want the one that requires the least maintenance?
Yeah, they're going to want chintzy, small, low maintenance.
Well, you know what's interesting to me, and I've noticed this. What? Chintzy, small, and low maintenance.
He's trying to stare me down on his chintzy, small, low maintenance.
It's gonna be it's gonna be Flimsy Town.
Shut up! Don't let me down.
Down Flimsy Town.
So I've noticed, you know how like there was a time.
There was a time, a flimsy time.
Where every like sitcom or TV show had somebody working a job with like this big beautiful apartment or house. Like everybody lived in like what we thought, I guess, was like the standard
well,
then.
Well, like Friends.
Yeah. But I've noticed that shows now aimed at like younger adults, like it's like five people sharing one apartment, or it's much more like realistic, I guess.
Yeah, it's more like China.
In terms
five
of like,
families living in one apartment.
In terms
or
of
America.
Like, the expectation.
Like she is describing what they are writing because it reflects American society. You go, yeah, like China.
Well, China is a lot of
like
to
this,
together.
As it is right now, because I live in my wife's house in Pittsburgh and I'm oblivious.
But I guess like just maybe the expectation for like your daughters growing up may look much different than it did
it
when
sound
we were
good.
Kids and we're like, oh yeah, I could have that, you know, giant 3-bedroom apartment for, at an affordable price in New York City.
Yeah, and look, yeah.
It's kind of bleak.
You say it's bleak, but here the counterpoint to that is
it's
right
realistic.
I mean, Kimmy, there were those McMansions that people were buying up when we were in high school.
Oh yeah,
the housing crisis of 08 emptied those. Yeah. Right? Like, that was the dream house to have for a little while. Right. I want that two-story, big-looking, cool brick facade, whatever, right? Those are expensive to maintain.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them weren't built well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you
like
are...
Like, you're getting them now as they're falling apart.
Exactly.
So, like, if I'm in the housing market looking to buy one of those homes in the 90s, early 2000s, like, I don't know how well they're holding up.
So your argument is it's a bleak future. I would argue if things are made more simple, maybe it makes life easier for people to get their hands on this stuff.
Cram into these little... boxes.
People aren't having as many kids. They're waiting to have them till later. Right. I mean, maybe it's not as tight as
and
you think.
And okay. You may just look at it better than an apartment.
Yeah.
I got a lawn now.
I mean, again, when you put it like that, it does sound bleak.
Yeah. When you raise your voice at the end, it's a house.
But again, you lived in a McMansion.
It's a McMansion.
With empty rooms that you couldn't afford. You had to take out a second mortgage.
That was for drinking.
All right, let's take a break.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is legit big news, Tommy.
What happened?
I mean, it's a little bit of a nostalgia blast. This was big when Kimmy and I were younger. Mm-hmm. And let me put it this way. When I was on foreign soil, and I thought they had this, I ran into a McDonald's to try and buy it. It was different. That being said, this would have to be unbelievably successful to reverse the fortunes of McDonald's and other fast food restaurants. Mm. Because I think there's only like one, maybe two.
Yeah,
food products, you could argue, changed.
Or saved.
Yeah, a business plan for a restaurant. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Yesterday, they made the announcement.
What are they doing?
Oh, by the way, Hate Mail of the Week coming up in just a little while here on CMF. McDonald's has given us a date for the return of the snack wrap.
The snack wrap.
The snack wrap. Are you familiar with snack wrap?
No.
It's a wrap. Snack size.
Yeah. Is there a snack inside
the wrap? There is a snack inside the wrap. It's chicken. Usually rolled
like
up in
chicken.
Yeah, like a tortilla.
Oh, so it's like a wrap, just a standard wrap.
Like lettuce and cheese or something.
What's a wrap? It's like a wrap. Well, tell me about it.
Well, what makes it a snack? Is it small?
It's like a grab and go kind of meal.
It sounds delicious.
They announced yesterday the snack wrap will return July 10th.
Okay.
July 10th. And McDonald's is making a huge deal about this. They say the snack wrap has been for years their most requested menu item that is not on the menu.
Mm.
And they are hoping that it can turn around their recent luck as people are now skipping out on fast food and eating more stuff at home.
Oh, yeah. Home cooking.
Making more stuff. So, by the way, there are two snack wrap flavors that will be returning. You will have the ranch snack wrap.
Ooh, everything is better with ranch.
Ranch sauce, hints of garlic and onion.
Sounds delicious.
And then you will also have the spicy snack. It's described as bringing the heat with a habanero kick. And they say that it's about the same spice as the spicy McChicken.
Are there chicken in both of these?
Yeah, fried chicken. Okay. It's all chicken right. The whole time. Fried chicken pieces.
Sounds good.
Okay. Does this save McDonald's?
I don't think it saves McDonald's.
Not that they're going out of business, obviously, but they've had their numbers are down along with every other fast food restaurant.
I could be wrong, but wasn't the snack wrap also part of like the value menu at the time?
It was, yes.
So I think that was also part of the draw to the snack wrap.
Okay.
Is you'd buy like a couple snack wraps and save money. If it's like a higher priced snack wrap, I wonder how many people are going to be all about it.
Because there's other companies that do this. Like Dunkin' has one of those little mini wraps you could buy.
It's a different wrap. I mean, look.
But it's still, it's a wrap.
It's a great snack wrap. No, it's don't talk food. Don't try. And
you
talk.
I was a big Dunkin' representative for many years.
I understand.
Before they let me go.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but when it comes to snacks in general, I'm going to say you're probably not the go-to.
Right.
Yeah.
You only have snacks of the past. Not the present.
Snack past.
Snacks of the past sounds like a Hallmark movie. No, I mean, look, I will say this.
I mean, would you make a special trip for that?
I wouldn't. Bro, I just told you.
Like, if I'm you might be more likely to stop if you could do a grab. Like I said, it's a really easy road food.
But that's what McDonald's is totally. Mm. It's all easy road food.
That's
its concept.
You can't be dunking nuggets in the car and stuff. She's right. Like that.
No, but you could eat a burger and fries in the car. That was their whole concept.
Look, I'm not going to have this argument with you because I'm just going to start yelling. I'll put it this way. All right, well, first of all, Evan writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF.
I don't want to hear from Evan unless he's a fat boy.
Let me see here.
Is he fat?
He's not fat, but he's young, so he may have a fast metabolism. Right. He could be getting okay. fat soon, and I bet he will because he says, I'm buying 10 of them the first day they
10?
Come out. I'm telling you, they have this cult.
Yeah. I guess. I never even heard of them.
People really miss it.
When I was in London...
You went to London?
I did go to London for that.
Ooh, Jolly, ooh, I'm foreign boy.
We were walking down the street.
Yeah.
And, like, we're doing, like, touristy stuff. Yeah. And there's a McDonald's there in London. And it said snack wrap in the window. And I stopped what we were doing. We're stopping. And I went in and I bought a snack wrap. Not the same. It was like a different meal.
Well,
probably
maybe
no
different.
Ranch.
Yeah, they don't have ranch dressing.
Shut up.
In the
yes,
UK.
They invented ranch dressing in the UK.
No, they didn't.
You did. It's a UK invention.
Is it really?
Yes, yeah. Sir Ranch of Wellington. It's his batch. They used to call it a ranch batch. They just shortened it because it affected sales everywhere except your mom's house. Nice try. Did you get there a little faster, Mr. Sleepyhead? 252W. Will you Google where ranch was invented?
I just looked. Okay.
It's American.
So, ranch dressing. Was invented in the early 1950s by Stephen Henson in Nebraska.
Oh, look at that.
Wow.
He was working as a plumbing contractor.
Where did he get the sauce?
That may be a weird thing that you could have left out of there.
How about that? Finally, Nebraska's responsible for something.
Okay.
Okay, so as the snack wrap comes back, with McDonald's hoping this will like reverse their downward trend, can you guys think of a single fast food item that put a restaurant like back on the map? Like just one item where everyone's like, I got to go there, and it blew the place up.
Because I remember Arby's was down for years. And then they came. I thought Arby's had a comeback.
Big Montana, is that what we're talking about here? Because that was a great sandwich.
Maybe. I thought it was like that multiple sandwich deal that they came. But that was like
The 5 for 5? Okay. But it's the same sandwich.
Yeah. Take back the ranch facts.
Oh, what do we
he
got?
Was from Nebraska.
But?
Invented it in California.
Hidden Valley, buddy.
Hidden Valley.
Ah!
Yep. That dude got rich.
Okay. Were you getting excited about Hidden Valley, or did you have a food that you wanted to tell me that changed the
No, I was just really excited about my Hidden Valley facts.
Okay. I get it.
I was reading. Sorry.
Okay, there's one I can think of.
What was that?
That may have blown a restaurant back up again. Popeyes and their chicken sandwich.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. That was like during like the chicken sandwich wars.
But they started the chicken sandwich wars with their dynamite chicken sandwich. Like, you couldn't get a chicken sandwich at Popeyes. Like, that's how big it got.
Oh.
But like, outside of the chicken sandwich at Popeyes, 252WC, what do you mean? We talked about it like multiple times.
You talk a lot of chicken.
They were running
show,
out
though.
Of sandwiches.
Yeah, you could.
You're a big chicken mouth.
I'm a huge chicken mouth.
Yes.
I mean, could you make an argument, Kimmy, Pizza Hut with the stuffed crust pizza? Like, that was revolutionary when we were kids.
But I don't think it saved them.
Well, I'm saying, like, it blew up Pizza Hut.
No, but you knew Pizza Hut for their stuffed crust.
And every kid wanted to go to Pizza Hut to get the stuffed crust. Can you guys think? I can't think of another, like, singular
food invention.
I mean, other than, like, the Big Mac at McDonald's 70 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, what other foods are there? You got Taco Bell.
Yeah, and I can't think of, like, oh, my God.
Like something unique that they have.
Wow, they have it, and I have to go have it.
Taco Bell's been just bringing out new stuff constantly anyway.
Yeah. It kind of gets hard to follow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because right now, don't they have, like, chicken nuggets right now?
They have everything.
Yeah. But it is a strange combo.
Because, like, McDonald's is, like, a more traditional fast food restaurant where, like, if they do something new, you're going to hear about it, right? And they've missed. They had the McPizza. It didn't work.
Yeah.
They had the McPasta. That didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? What was the
salad lineup. They had the McBLT.
Ah!
Well, I remember another one that was popular. Maybe they still have it. Do they still have the pancakes?
Yeah, they still got the pancakes.
The dippable pancakes.
I don't know if they're dippable. No, you had the breakfast. That's what I'm
talking. I'm thinking.
Yeah, they
had
like regular
not
pancakes.
Not the pancakes. It was like French toast sticks.
I haven't seen those in a while.
Okay.
I miss the McDonald's Big Breakfast. I haven't had one of those in forever. And when I was a kid, it brought me so much joy.
It was called the Big Breakfast?
You don't remember the Big Breakfast? It was pancakes, eggs, a hash brown, sausage.
God damn.
Hot syrup, a pat of butter.
Wait, and butter.
Yeah, and butter. It's like the worst thing you
can. It has to be the highest amount of calories you could consume
it's obscene.
On one order.
It is, Kimmy, will you Google what the hell? Because I don't even see anyone like order it anymore.
Yeah, because they all passed away.
But they're like still selling. What
was it called?
The angina.
It's called the big McDonald's big breakfast.
Big stopper.
It was
the clogger.
There was something like I'm a pancake snob, but there was something about those pancakes from McDonald's. Like they were very unique, and the way they mixed with the eggs.
Because I remember they had
big breakfast is still available.
Okay, can you give me the nutrition facts on the big breakfast?
Okay, you asked for it.
Roll those numbers. What do you think the calories are?
I'm gonna say it's over 2,000.
You think just a meal?
I'm going to say that meal is over 2,000. Right. It has to be. Man.
I was going to go around 1,300 or 1,500.
It's too delicious and
this
too big.
This can't be right.
What do you got?
It's that high.
760 calories.
No, there's no way. Okay. They must have changed it.
Warm biscuit, fluffy scrambled eggs.
Oh, I forgot about the biscuit.
McDonald's sausage and crispy golden hash browns. So no pancakes.
There are pancakes in
there. That's only 700 calories?
There's some pancakes.
Maybe you can swap out the biscuit for the pancakes.
No, because I remember getting a biscuit with my pancakes. What the hell happened? Did they get rid of the pancakes?
I don't know.
They
shrunk it down. There's pancakes in the picture, looks like.
Are they not included? Do pancakes not count as calories?
Not included.
By the way, Elijah.
Okay, this other thing is giving me 1,300.
Okay, well, you nailed it. Look at that. Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah, this one has a pancake, so that makes sense. Yeah. The hotcakes.
And butter.
All right, yeah. 1,300 is not that bad.
Okay.
I can handle
one meal.
Oh,
but
shut
there's a lot
up.
In that meal.
You only get 2,000 for the day.
Okay, according to McDonald's website, thank you, Stephanie, for sending us, it's, with the hash brown, 1,340 calories.
Okay.
That's from Heavy Stephanie.
She is not heavy.
Bro, she got that. She got those stats pretty quick. She heavy.
I'm looking at her right now. She must be running these pancakes off, man. Can we not talk about women's bodies? You do this all the time. Hey, here's a listener that wrote us something. What does she look like? And he rubs his hands together. Creepy old man.